Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We're always glad for your time and attention. And if you'd like to take part in our conversation here on the Exchange, feel free. Phone number is here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. And our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. One of the main thrusts in healthcare reform is to emphasize overall wellness so people get regular checkups and health maintenance and don't get so sick that they need to go to a hospital. The general theory is that if people have health insurance that allows them to see a doctor on a regular basis, they will go to the emergency room less often. But new numbers out of the ongoing Oregon Health Study show the reverse. Medicaid patients, it's called the Oregon Health Plan in Oregon, made more trips to the ER in the study group. Sarah Taubman is the lead author of the ER study with the Oregon Health Study. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Oregon Health Study itself, we did talk about this, boy, it's been getting on 3 years ago now on the Exchange. Can you give us the general outline of how this was all set up in the first place and the opportunity it represents?
Yes, I think that's helpful to put our findings in context. So what had happened in Oregon is the Oregon Health Plan Standard, which is a Medicaid program for individuals who are low income but who wouldn't traditionally qualify for Medicaid. They aren't disabled or pregnant or one of the other qualifying categories. Oregon Health Plan Standard covers individuals who are low income, and that program had been closed to new enrollment starting in 2004 for budgetary reasons. And in around 2008, the state offices realized they had money to cover about an additional 10,000 people, but correctly realized that way more people than that would be eligible. We estimate around 200,000 would have been eligible. So they decided the fairest way to allocate those slots was a lottery process, and they did public outreach, and around 80,000 individuals signed up for a waiting list, or the reservation list, and they randomly selected individuals and gave them the chance to apply for coverage under Oregon Health Plan Standard. And what this gives us is a randomized design to study the effects of health insurance, which is very unusual on social policy questions. The randomized trials are the gold standard for testing new drugs or medical treatments, but we rarely get to evaluate health insurance or other social programs that way.
So do you get a control group then from the people who are among the 80,000 who didn't get the 10,000 slots?
Exactly. So the control group is individuals who'd signed up for the reservation list but were not selected and given the opportunity to apply for Medicaid. Around 30,000 were selected, and around 10,000 of those were eventually covered.
All right. So you have at least as many people, it sounds like, who are not covered, who attempted to get that coverage, as you do people who actually did get enrolled?
Exactly. And they provide a control group for allowing us to see what would have happened to individuals if they hadn't received the coverage. And we know that the only difference is, did their lottery number come up, whereas usually they might be different in lots of ways.
So essentially we're talking the same kinds of people, and this is the beauty of this ability that you have with the Oregon Health State, the same kinds of people. Some have insurance and some don't.
Exactly. So that lets us really get at what's the causal impact of the insurance. What does the insurance really do, as opposed to we often are looking at a situation where individuals with insurance may be very different from individuals without.
I imagine for researchers looking into the effects of healthcare that this is like Christmas Day. I mean, so how do you decide what not to collect here? Because there's so much data I'm sure you'd like to get a hold of here. So how did you have to sort of narrow the fields of focus?
Right. So exactly. This is just an incredible opportunity for this kind of research. And so we actually cast a very wide net in trying to understand the impacts of Medicaid. And so some of our previously published work has looked at a range of data on what happens to people's use of the healthcare system, what happens to their financial outcomes, to their financial well-being, and what happens to their health. And this latest report is focused on emergency department use. That data took us a little bit longer to collect, and so that was not included in our original reports, but we thought it's a very important outcome given the policy debate around this particular question of what will happen to emergency department use.
And are we fair in saying what I said at the beginning, which is that the general theory is that if you get health insurance, therefore can see a doctor, you won't go to the emergency room as much?
Yes. So I think part of what makes emergency department use such an interesting question to look at is there were really two theories. So one is the one you described, which is that because insurance will allow people to see the doctor, they may be able to go to a regular doctor's office instead of to the emergency department, or they may be healthier and not have as many emergencies. The other theory that was also posited prior to our study is that because insurance pays for emergency department use, individuals will use more than they would if they had to bear the full cost themselves.
All right. We will explore what the actual findings were as we get past this break here on the Jefferson Exchange. Sarah Taubman's with us. She's the lead author of the study on the ER visits through the Oregon Health Study, which we've just described at length. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange when we come back from this break at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Think in terms of when do you use the emergency room versus a primary care physician? How much does insurance figure into that calculation? Also reach us by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Sarah Taubman and you when we return in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Sarah Taubman, the lead author of a study on emergency room visits by people participating in the Oregon Health Study, which put some people on the Oregon Health Plan standard, a version of the Oregon Health Plan, and left other people who had applied for those slots uninsured, and takes a look at the results on healthcare and income and a whole bunch of other areas. The most recent finding published is about the fact that people seem to use the emergency room more when they had Oregon Health Plan standard. You can join us on the exchange as we talk about this. 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. Rogue Valley number 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Sarah, we just set up two competing theories. One is that when people have health insurance, get to see a doctor on a regular basis, they use the ER less. The other one is that when they have insurance and therefore somebody else is paying, they'll use the ER more. This set of findings would seem to back up that second theory.
That's right. We find increases in emergency department use. We see about 40% more visits with Medicaid coverage.
40% more.
That's right.
That's a significant number. It's not just a statistical noise, obviously.
Right. There is some error around that estimate, but it's definitely different than no change. So that increase might be a little bigger or a little smaller, but our best guess is 40%.
And how long a time range are we talking about here? I mean, over what period of time did the emergency room visits increase by 40%?
So this is following individuals for about 18 months after the lottery. So it's relatively short term. And one thing we did was try and look at different types of visits and different groups of the population to see if there were areas where we see the decrease in emergency department use that some had suggested would be the case. And we really don't see that anywhere. We see increases pretty much across the board, and we don't ever see statistically significant declines.
And now the collection of the data here is done how? I mean, you got 10,000 people you're trying to track who are in the study, and then all those people in the control group, also tens of thousands. And how is the information obtained then? Is it strictly statistical? Are there some interviews as well? And how many people have to work on collecting this?
So this particular report uses data from 12 hospitals in the Portland area. And so we worked with the hospitals themselves and with the hospital association and with uh, the Oregon Office for Health Policy and Research to identify the individuals in our study who had also had emergency department visits from the hospital records. In previous reports, we did conduct interviews. We interviewed around 10,000 individuals in the Portland area and took blood pressure and dried blood spots to be able to look at some of the health outcomes like cholesterol and blood sugar.
All right, so you had some baselines then on the people in the Oregon Health Study.
So that was actually also follow-up. That was to see if the health insurance affected people's health and if we could detect measurable differences in health.
All right, so
that obviously was a big effort with a lot of folks working on it.
So when you talk about, though, the 12 hospitals in the Portland area being used for this most recent study about emergency room use, it begs the question about how widespread the rest of the people in the Oregon Health Study are. Obviously most of the population is in the Portland metro area, but are they scattered all over the state of Oregon pretty uniformly?
So, yes, the whole study covers all of Oregon, and obviously lots of people live outside of Portland. For the emergency department piece, because we only had data on the Portland hospitals, we limited to the zip codes that those hospitals serve. So obviously, it's not very informative to think about, you know, somebody in Salem, whether or not they went to a Portland hospital, that wouldn't be the hospital they'd go to.
So in the process of collecting the data that leads to this recent reporting, is there a trend that emerges as you go through? I mean, it's not like you can really keep a secret from yourself, but it seems like over time there would have been probably a few eyebrows going up. What was the general reaction from the people like yourself who had to prepare the information?
In terms of, were we surprised about the findings?
Exactly.
Yeah, so like I said, I think that part of why this was such an interesting question to work on is because you really could tell a story that it could go either way, which was less true than some of the other things we looked at. There might be a question about how big an effect is there. Is there a measurable effect? But we weren't really expecting you to be financially worse off, for example, by gaining insurance. You know, there was a question of how much does it help your finances, but we expected it to go in one direction. With emergency department use, I think, you know, we really didn't know how it would go. What we're seeing is consistent with a sort of standard economic framework that if you make care more affordable, people use more care.
So the reason I asked about interviews is because you got some insight into why people went to the ER instead of doctor's offices. And what was the general answer you got there? Was there a pretty consistent one?
So people use the healthcare system very differently, and obviously everyone's experience is quite individual in terms of what health needs they have and where they seek care. One thing that we did see is that individuals are also using primary care more. So this is happening in a context where individuals are going to the doctor more, they're using preventive care more, and they're also reporting better access. So if you ask questions like, do you have a doctor who's your doctor, or do you have a place you can go for care that's not the emergency department, with insurance coverage, individuals report better access, better, you know, more likely to have a place of care that they can go. And so the increase in the emergency department is happening in a context where we also see increased access to other types of care. It's not just that they can't get in to see a doctor.
So there really is just a case of more consumption of healthcare services then.
Exactly. And we see increases of a wide range. We see increases in hospital use. We see increases in prescription drug use. And like I said, that, you know, the insurance is paying for this and makes these types of care more affordable to individuals. And that may well factor into their thinking in deciding, you know, what care they want to seek.
And so I want to be careful because it's sort of like dealing with areas of crime reporting. Sorry if this is a bad analogy, but where there are more reports in some years, but simply because more people are reporting them finally rather than actually just living with them. And I wonder In other words, what I'm asking here is this more use of the ER, but is it not people being sicker? It's just they're actually having the capacity to be there, which they didn't have before.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, we don't know exactly, but there's no reason to think that people are sicker, and in fact, our data suggests that people, when you ask them about their health, they report feeling quite a bit healthier with coverage, with the Medicaid coverage. So it's more about, are they getting care, not, you know, are they having more health emergencies?
Sarah Taubman's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's with the Oregon Health Study. She's the lead author of this recent study that indicates that when given Oregon health plan standard coverage, that more people use the emergency room rather than less. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about what this implicates for health care and health insurance and all the things we've been talking about in society lately. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here is Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sarah Taubman.
Good morning. Nothing waggish about this. This is very serious stuff. My gut tells me that what you're seeing here is the transitional phase of people's behavior. The people who were habituated to going to the emergency room only when they had what they perceived as a life-threatening kind of a situation, or the kind of situation where they would go and create unfunded and unpayable debt, is now something that the Oregon Health Plan may in fact pay for, or Medicaid may pay for. And it's going to take time for that behavior to shift as the people start using the primary care physicians more. They're still going to hold off on something until it becomes an issue. They may be more predisposed to go and deal with it now as an issue at the ER than before, and I think it's a matter of habituation. That's what my gut's telling me.
All right. That's an excellent point to bring up, Paul. You kind of read my mind here, which raises the question that, I mean, is it habituation? And for that matter, over the course of the 18 months, did the ER visits begin to get less frequent over time as people got used to having health insurance and seeing a primary care physician?
So, of course, we were only able to see the first 18 months, and the picture may change over time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see a clear time trend over the period we study.
All right.
It's relatively consistent over those 18 months. But I think it's very interesting, the point you raise. I realize this is not your main point, but just the issue of visits by the uninsured leading to unpayable debts, because one of the real benefits we see of Medicaid is reduction of these sorts of medical debts and medical collections, and that individuals with Medicaid coverage are much less likely to end up with those sorts of debts.
All right, let's take another call here from Estelle in Gold Hill. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the ER visits under the Oregon Health Study with Sarah Taubman.
Yes, I wanted to say that I feel that the study has given a false impression of why the people are going to the ER more frequently. I see it as that the people want and need health care, and so they're going to the ER. And that is because they do not know anywhere else to go. When they were selected and got on the Oregon Health Plan, they were not given any education or any instruction as to how to get a primary care doctor. And that's not an easy task, really, if a person is just starting out with nothing. And so they want and need more health care, so they did what they were used to doing. They went to the ER room. But if they had been told of the process of finding a primary care doctor, if they had been told of the wonderful community clinics that are available and have certainly doctor service and nursing service, I think that they would have been better off. And this is what the CCOs are doing, and I think are doing very effectively. The one in Bend that started early as a study so that people could pattern after it has shown a dramatic drop in ER room visits. And the CCOs are doing that. They're creating the medical home. And this study, as it came out and said about the ER room visits going up, I heard it quoted three times last Friday on national radio, and it gives such a false picture that it's being used to say, see, you give people health care and they go to the ER room anyway. And so the study coming out without explanation, other than that now that somebody is paying for it, somebody else is paying for it and they're not in debt, they'll just do it, is really, really deceiving and harmful to the whole process that we're trying to do here in Oregon.
All right, Estelle, thank you for your thoughts. You gave us a lot to talk about here, and I'll bring these up in turn with Sarah. To the first part, because what she's talking about is essentially what Paul was talking about, where people who have gotten used to going to the emergency room for essentially disaster care, when they really couldn't put it off any longer, essentially have to change habits. I mean, is there an indication that that is, in fact, what's going on here?
So I would be clear that this is not just that individuals are taking the insurance and only visiting the emergency department. They're using the insurance to access all sorts of care. They're using Medicaid coverage to go to primary care, to get mammograms, to get their cholesterol screened, to go to the hospital, to go to the emergency department, to take prescription drugs. So it's not as simple as they're only using emergency department or they aren't aware of the other services available to them, because they are taking advantage of those services as well. We see increases in all types of care.
All right. So if the emergency room visits, for example, are up 40%, are there data that come with this report that indicate what the increase in visits to primary care physicians is as well?
In some of our earlier reports, we've looked at that, and the increases in primary care visits are of a similar magnitude.
All right, but not greatly above the 40% figure then.
Right.
Okay. One of the other things that Estelle brought up, though, is this idea of education and instruction to get the people who got the Oregon Health Plan standard to get them information about how to obtain a doctor. I mean, did they get any particular instructions there? Were they told where to go, who to call, et cetera?
So there are some resources obviously available about what's covered, but she specifically mentioned the CCOs, or the community care organizations in Oregon, mm-hmm. which I want to be quite clear, those were started after the time period of our study.
Right.
And I think that you know, from our perspective, we're attempting to learn what we can, and what we see is that insurance expansion in and of itself does not lead to decreases in emergency department use. It leads to increases. If we think it's an important goal to reduce use of the emergency department, I think more targeted programs like the community care organizations are exactly the sort of ideas we need to be testing. And that one lesson from our study may be that it's important to have rigorous evaluation of different types of programs to see if they're delivering the results that we want them to.
All right, we have an email here from Dawn in Central Point, who writes, "Funny you should be talking about this today, because I have OHP since the 1st of January, Oregon Health Plan. I haven't had insurance for years and do not have a primary care provider and have an infection. So I'm calling primary care providers in the area, and so far all I have gotten is offers to be placed on a wait list. I have a feeling I will be ending up in an emergency room to receive medical attention. It doesn't seem like this is a scenario that is even being considered in this study." But I'll leave that question to you then, Sarah. Is it a scenario that's been considered, people who want a primary care doctor but haven't obtained one yet?
So I suspect that the scenario today is quite different. The expansion we were looking at was relatively small, about 100,000, about 10,000 newly covered individuals in the whole state of Oregon.
Right.
Obviously, the Medicaid expansions that are taking place, you know, starting January 1, are much, much larger, and that will have bigger system-wide effects, some of which may be negative, like strains on the capacity of primary care doctors. Some of that may be positive, in that providers can respond and think about new ways to reach this newly covered population, and we'll have to see how that plays out over time.
Are there issues with the payouts from the Oregon Health Plan? Is that maybe part of the reason that Dawn was told that she'd have to go on a wait list? I mean, because I have heard in the past people say, well, we're not taking any more health plan patients at this point.
So Medicaid payments do tend to be quite a bit lower than Medicare or private insurance. And so that can lead to some doctors choosing not to take Medicaid. But I would say that the individuals we're studying are more likely to have primary care doctors and are more likely to visit them. So it's not as simple as there's no availability. But we aren't really able to look at how easy it is for them compared to a privately insured patient.
All right. Much more to talk about this study with the people involved in the Oregon Health Study about their visits to the emergency room and what this says about healthcare in general and where things are moving. We'll come back and talk more with Sarah Taubman and take your phone calls and emails here on the Jefferson Exchange. Back to the program in a minute 25. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today about the recent study out of the ongoing Oregon Health Study that indicates when people have health insurance, they do visit the emergency room more often, which confirms some people's suspicions and denies others. Sarah Taubman is the lead author of the ER study. She's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join this conversation at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. One of our previous callers had mentioned hearing stuff on national media about this. Have you gotten a large number of phone calls, Sarah?
Yes, there's been quite a bit of interest in the study.
And given the fact that it seems to confirm some theories and certainly deny some others, has there been a fair amount of I don't know how much of the coverage you've seen, but is there a fair amount of, see, we told you.
There's definitely been some. I would say our experience throughout this study, as we've reported on different aspects of the effects of Medicaid, is we've been a little surprised at how much, regardless of what we say, it seems to confirm whatever people previously believed.
So the theories abound, and they're always going to get confirmed or denied by what comes out of here.
Right.
Let's take another call. Here's Nancy in Eugene. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sarah Taubman.
Hi. I just want to say I'm a nurse practitioner in Eugene, and I just want to say that really this study doesn't confirm or deny anything. You know, it's a mm-hmm. small study. What my question originally was whether you made any allowances for the chronicity of these patients.
For the chronicity?
All the Medicaid patients that I see have chronic and complex problems. Despite whatever age they are, they really have a lot going on because they haven't had a lot of primary care.
So, in other words, their health has not been maintained up to this point.
Correct.
They're a bit more
Correct.
Broken down,
Correct.
Beaten up, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see if that's part of this. Sarah, what do you say?
Okay.
Thank
I'll
you,
take
Nancy.
My answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
I think that's exactly right, that this is a relatively sick population that signed up for the lottery. The nice thing about our design is that is true of both the individuals who gained coverage and the individuals who did not. So because we have the random assignment, we have a similar burden of disease in the two groups we're comparing. So it's true that this is a relatively sick population. These are people who wanted to obtain health insurance and signed up for the lottery. We see higher rates of reported physical health and mental health problems. But that doesn't change our estimates of the impact of Medicaid because it's true of both groups that we're comparing.
And for people who may just be joining us, when we say lottery, we're not talking about the Oregon lottery with scratch-off tickets and all that sort of thing. There was a lottery specifically to get 10,000 more people onto the Oregon Health Plan standard. 10,000 people were chosen at random to be in Oregon Health Plan standard. The rest are the control group, people who still would like to have health insurance and haven't had it, which then raises the question about how much this – I mean, are the circumstances of the study essentially being disrupted by the fact that now people can and are expected to get insurance?
Yes, absolutely. So the Oregon Health Plan Standard, you know, had been a closed program because of budgetary constraints, but the expansion of Medicaid to all individuals below, 135% of the federal poverty level means that individuals don't have to win the lottery to get that Medicaid application. They can just go ahead and apply now.
All right. We have an email here from Dale. I don't see a town on here. Dale says, making an appointment with a doctor is inconvenient as opposed to the emergency room where no appointment is needed. So that was the basis for that person. Says they believe the study is flawed. How much did that seem to enter into people's decisions to go to the emergency room, that they simply just didn't have time or just thought it was more convenient to go to a place where they could just walk in?
Right. So one thing we tried to get a sense of for that is, for example, we looked at what happens to visits that happen during the day as opposed to one that happen overnight or on the weekends, with the idea that it's probably easier to get in to see a primary care doctor during the day than it is over the, 2 a.m. on a Saturday. And we see increases in both types of visits. So it's not just that, doctor's offices aren't open or you can't get in. But we don't really speak to bigger questions of what types of care are available and how responsive are they. And I think there's a lot of interesting questions about, could we be setting up primary care and outpatient care in ways that are more accessible and more efficient and easier for people to use.
Let us take another call. We have Wolfgang in Sunny Valley on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sarah Taubman from the Oregon Health Study.
Good morning. It's Foggy Valley right now.
Okay, fair enough.
But eventually that might change. I have a general question. I mean, we call not only healthcare, but we call people providers who are, or organizations, providers which are actually sellers. So my question about the extension of healthcare provision, more health insurance, is will it but does it provide more health or more sales?
All right. Interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, more health or more sales. So, here again, we're talking about consumption rises when people have the insurance.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for that, Wolfgang. Appreciate it. Sarah, what do you think?
So one of the things we've tried to look at in our previous work is exactly this question of, so we see increases in healthcare use, and then, what are the benefits that individuals are getting from that healthcare use? I've talked a little bit about one of the benefits is financial protection, that they don't end up with large medical debts or with, catastrophic expenses where they have to pay, more than a third of their income to obtain the healthcare. Another question we looked at is what happens to people's health? And the picture is a little mixed. So people report much better general health. If you ask them questions like, how is your health? You get more positive reports, more excellence and fewer pores. If you look specifically at some mental health outcomes like depression, we see substantial reductions in depression, about 30% less depression with Medicaid coverage. On physical health, we're able to measure a handful of markers of physical health like blood pressure, cholesterol, blood sugar, and we see no detectable change in those types of outcomes.
I see that you come originally from the National Bureau of Economic Research, where you're a research fellow there. So let's ask about the economic part of this. I mean, aside from their actual behavior vis-a-vis healthcare practitioners, what are people noticing about their level of economic well-being inside and outside the study group?
Right. So I think a major benefit of insurance is the financial protection piece, which is that, at its core, health insurance is intended to protect individuals financially so that if they get sick, the care they need is paid for and they don't end up with, huge expenses or huge debt.
Sarah? Sarah Taubman. Okay, that's unusual. We'll have to get that call reestablished. So Reed will work on picking that one up. We are talking to Sarah Taubman, who's a research fellow at the National Bureau of Economic Research and is the author, the lead author of this recent study stemming out of the ongoing Oregon Health Study about emergency room visits and how those are affected by whether or not people have insurance. If you're just joining us, the Oregon Health Plan Standard took in 10,000 new people through a lottery system several years ago and then has those 10,000 people within the system who can maintain health insurance and then all the people who applied who didn't get insurance as the control group. So that's where we are standing at the moment. It looks like Sarah's just about to get back online. She's there now. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, I'm sorry about that.
Not sure what happened there. All right, so people are doing better economically then was the upshot of what we were talking about?
Right, so people are getting this financial protection. Now, we also looked at things like employment and earnings, and we don't see a change on those measures.
All right, let's take another call from Larry in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sarah Taubman.
Hi there. My question was basically, do you have numbers on how many people were getting insurance for the first time that never had insurance before? And I note that my medical plan, which is Medicare due to a terminal illness called old age, has a disincentive for me to go to the emergency room. Is there such a disincentive in the Oregon plan?
Okay, good questions. Thanks for those, Larry. So number one, I mean, are you tracking whether people ever had insurance through the study? And number two, is there disincentive to the emergency room?
If they've ever had insurance, we don't really get to see that. We do know that a reasonable number of them had been on some version of Oregon Health Plan in maybe the 5 or 6 years before the study, but we don't know about previous coverage. And historically, there's been quite a bit of churn on and off Medicaid programs as individuals lose eligibility and regain it. So some of them may have had some experience with the program before. And in terms of the disincentives, I think that's an excellent question. The version of the plan we were studying did not have that. All care was free at the point of care. So individuals paid premiums, but they didn't pay co-pays or co-insurance for using doctor's office, emergency department, or hospital.
All right, so there was nothing like you're going to have to pay $50 if you go to the emergency room, something like that. That would be, yeah, got it. Another call here from Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Oregon Health Study with Sarah Taubman.
Yes, I'll put this kind of quick. I've talked to a couple of nurse practitioners about this. So many young people, late teens to late 20s, have come from, dysfunctional families, breakups and whatever, and they are always given this five-page thing of their family history, blah, 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 blah. Their privacy is one of their few possessions that these young people have, and they don't know how to answer a lot of this stuff because, family situations. Another one is the type of doctor, nurse practitioners who regularly they know will be there to talk with them about a problem. Young ladies with young ladies, young men with young men. And where their first question is, what have you been doing the last few days? That usually opens a conversation that explains why they have a problem. And that's rarely put up. I guess what I'm trying to say is more empathy, less paperwork. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. Less empathy, more paperwork. We also have an email here from Joe in Talent. He says, folks are saying that access to primary care physicians is limited because of the ACA, the Affordable Care Act. When were they ever plentiful? I've tried on and off for 6 years to get a primary when I needed a doctor and told the same thing. You're on a waiting list or we can't see you for 6 months. It's always been that way in the Valley. And he's talking about the Rogue Valley and I'm sure elsewhere. Hopefully, once things settle down, it will be easier. But until then, places like the immediate care business are good cost-competitive solutions to the emergency rooms, which raises the question then is whether we're talking about just hospital emergency rooms here, and I believe you are, or whether you rolled in things like the urgent care centers.
That's a good distinction to draw. The types of visits we're talking about here are specifically to hospital-based emergency departments, to emergency rooms at the hospital.
Okay, we've got time for one more quick question. Jamie in Medford, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sarah Taubman.
Yeah, actually, the thunder's gotten stolen, Jeffrey. Good morning, Jeffrey. Morning, Sarah. I was just going to ask about the immediate care question, but that's been answered for me. But I'd just like to say that this reflects on your last piece that you had in the previous hour, where it's that more people are coming to Medford, and therefore, wouldn't that be like a high tide sails all the boats kind of scenario? And I'll take the response off the air if I could.
High tide, well, raise the boats in what sense? I mean, there are more people moving to the area. So, whoops, there's no more Jamie. Okay, can't ask that one. So, Sarah Talbot, let me ask you about where things go from here, because obviously the dynamics of the Oregon Health Study change a bit with the Affordable Care Act. So does it continue from this point, and if so, how long?
Yes, we unfortunately, from a research perspective, but very fortunately for our study participants, are not able to look at very long-term outcomes, because actually even prior to the ACA expansions, Oregon was able to further expand the OHP standard plan, and a large number of our control group was able to gain insurance. So some of our collaborators are continuing to follow this population, but we won't still have the random assignment.
All right, but it sounds like you've really had a chance to learn a whole lot about behaviors with health insurance and without over the course of the Oregon Health Study.
Yeah, I mean, our idea has been to try and learn as much as we can about the costs and benefits of Medicaid from this study, and hopefully provide, you know, a little bit better grounding for some of the debate around these issues.
All right. Sarah Taubman was the lead author of this recent study from the Oregon Health Study about emergency room visits. She's a research fellow at the National Bureau of Economic Research, an affiliate assistant professor in the Department of Health Services at the University of Washington, and a research associate in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the Harvard School of Public Health. You're busy. Sarah Taubman, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Tomorrow on the Jefferson Exchange at 8 o'clock, we'll talk about what happens to our Christmas trees when they're recycled. We'll talk about fun with fermentation, new ways to make new kinds of food, or new ways to make old kinds of food or something. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll talk to the author of The Longest Date about marriage. We'll talk to the author who is the former Sex and the City writer, Cindy Chupac. That's all tomorrow on the Jefferson Exchange. Our producer is Charlotte Duren. Our student assistant, Reed Newland. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Please join us again tomorrow at 8, and have a great day.